One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for tuning in. We got a great show for you. Or maybe we don't. We just started recording.
Literally, we wouldn't know. Maybe this is the best show we've ever done. We haven't hit it yet.
Yeah.
I feel like this might be it. We're going
to
peak.
There's a lot of ways for me to let you down from moving forward. Anyway, I'm Ryan here with Dave and Bobby.
Woo, happy day after Christmas.
Right. We're recording this before.
Boxing Day, I believe.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is that. It's called that because, of course,
Everyone boxes over the presents they
have
the day
then
before.
Fight, and the winner keeps the best
right,
presents.
Exactly.
The last episode we put up, that was a lost episode because I was not around. I was in Orange County, a place that you know I love and hold dear to my heart. There are some nice folks there. Not many. Anyway, I went back for a funeral. A buddy of mine from high school died tragically. Hit and run. You know,
oh, really?
Hit and run. Crossing the street, got taken out randomly by. Haven't found the guy.
Was it in Crazy. Orange County?
It was in Anaheim.
Well, hey, I got hit by a car in Anaheim, actually.
No shit. Yeah. Lawless over there.
What's your vigilante justice remedy for that?
Yeah.
Short story, I'll side note real quick. I was once going to go get a car repaired, and I had dropped it off there, and I took the train back, and I was walking through Anaheim. So I was walking through the street, and something happened to me that's never happened. I've always been curious about it. I've never even heard of it happening. There's a road. It's a super fast road, like 45, 50 miles an hour. Right. These cars are shooting by, and this car is coming towards me in traffic, so there's like two lanes separating us because it's a four-lane road, and a dog is hanging out the window, this pit bull. This pit bull locks eyes with me as we're walking down and jumps out of the car, moving 45 miles an hour.
What?
In what is essentially a freeway of a road.
Yeah.
It does a bunch of rolls on the ground. I was like, oh my God. And now this pit bull, which is jacked, is on the ground. And I ran out into the road and did like, everybody stop, stop, don't hit this car.
Right.
The guy comes to a screeching stop up to 100 yards ahead of when he realizes what's happened.
Lock eyes with my pit bull, you fuck?
Look what you did. And I'm slowing down cars, and everybody's kind of slowing down, and they're getting the point, and the pit bull gets up, and now he's, like, super scared because he's hurt, and he doesn't know what's going on. He's running in circles, and I'm doing the everybody stop, hands out type thing. And this car, this, like, Toyota Camry is coming slowly towards me. He sees me. I lock eyes with the driver.
He jumps out of the car.
Yeah. He slows down. He looks. He seems to see the situation that the dog's there and everything. He slows down to, like, 5 miles an hour, so he's not moving very fast, so he clearly knows what's going on. And he just goes right through me. He just hits me at five. He's like, I'll go slow, but I'm not going to stop.
Through this whole story, I kept imagining the pit bull being like Stallone in the end of Rocky V and the street fight against James Gunn. Like, all bloody. I didn't hear no bell. I didn't hear no bell, pussy.
I wanted Bobby's vigilante take to be like, he attached himself to the bottom of the car like De Niro in Cape Fear and follows the family home.
Well, it was
goes
weird.
Through their mail, steals their identities, ruins their credit.
You don't expect it because I was like looking at the guy and slowing down. Like we were all on the same page until he hit me. And then the other guy, the driver from the BMW at that point where that the dog jumped out of, he comes running up to the scene. He's like, oh my God, thank you so much. Can you help me get the dog? And he's trying to wrangle him. And he goes, did you just get hit by that car? And I was like, yeah. Weird that I didn't think about it until you just mentioned it. We were too concerned making sure the dog didn't get run over.
Yeah. Well, back to my dead friend, if it's okay. I hadn't talked to the guy in a long time. I saw everyone that I went to high school with who I know for a fact also haven't talked to him in long stretches of years or maybe even thought about him. Doing, you know, finding at probably great lengths the one picture they have with the guy.
Sure.
And writing a long diatribe of, like, how a piece of them is now missing. And, well, I think that's great that they're paying homage to this guy who was taken too soon. A little part of it felt very disingenuous.
Yeah.
On the part of a lot of them.
Just a little part of it?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, like...
But that, you know, you can argue that's disingenuity in good faith. It's like, that person's family's there. We want them to know he was loved and everything.
I mean, on Facebook.
On that, there's two sides of it, right? There's the disingenuous part that's like, this is for the family because we don't want to... Like, you don't want to go up and be like, that motherfucker still owed me 15 bucks from the poker game. He never paid.
Yeah.
You know who didn't pitch into gas? Him. He deserved to get hit. No, you don't want that. But also there's the people who are just like, all right, this is a chance for me to get some Facebook credit points. Let me just sneak this in here.
And there was some genuine ones. You know, I saw the ones from like his best friend from all these years and, you know, people that was close with him, and then some people that were not. Anyways, I didn't put anything up because I'm like, well, you know, I that's why I didn't, because I'm like, that I haven't talked to the kid in 15 years. I went back, and I think the besides the obvious, which is a guy that was taken at 31, the real saddest part is that really he never left that town.
Yeah.
And I know he had dreams of being like a rock star, not a career musician, rock star. And that went how you think it went. And like, it wasn't just him. When I went back to the funeral, it's like a high school reunion. I didn't go to my 10-year high school reunion, and I heard no one did because it was like tickets were like $150, like something ridiculous. No one went. But this, if you're going to miss your high school reunion, hold out for the funeral. It's right. Much better.
Yeah.
So there's all these kids I went to high school, grown adults now, families, careers. A lot of them are doing well, but there's a good handful of them that just fucking haven't done shit since high school, and it's almost tragic. I mean, they're fine. Their parents are rich. Orange County is no different than any small town in America, only with lots and lots of money.
Yes.
There's a bunch of kids that all work for their dad, but instead of a feed store, it's at a real estate company where they're just handed $22 million leads.
Yeah.
And like, these guys are super motivated. Here's a listing for a mansion. Man.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, like I said, a lot of them are, you know, like, oh, great, you know, I started my own company, I'm married, you know. And then there's like a bunch that give you this one, like, hey, man, what have you been up to? You know, living the dream, man. Just, you know, just fucking killing it. Just, you know, they don't give you a straight answer. In Orange County, that is code for I still receive an allowance.
Yeah, that's one of those Adam Carolla rich man, poor man's. That's either that or it's the Elon Musk who doesn't want to brag, you know? Hey, living the dream, you know? Yeah. Just leave it at that. SpaceX, maybe you've heard of it. Living the dream.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
Probably not too much of that.
Yeah. I don't believe that the inventor of the next Tesla was trying to keep a low profile at the funeral there.
It is funny, though, because you can see people get trapped in those, like, same cycles where they're doing the same things. Like, you know, and you come back from the outside and you think of, oh, man, what was I doing at 21, 24, 29, all these things. And then you realize that guy was doing the exact same thing we were all doing at 17 throughout that entire time period.
Right, right, exactly. You know, I think I have this fear, and maybe we all have it, well, except the people in question here. I have this fear of being left behind by the times. I think that's why I have that reoccurring dream that I'm either still in high school or still in college. Mm. That's my fear of being like, oh my God, time passed me by. I'm 30 and I'm still at this milestone that should have been way in my rearview mirror. And, you know, I've always felt this great depression every time I've gone back to Orange County. And I've gone there, as you know, very rarely and sporadically. When I first went back there when I was 20, after not being there for a few years, the guy that was super cool in high school, this dude was like, hey, man, I just I took a classic community college sometimes, sometimes not. Pretty much, I wake up whenever. I go surfing. I, like, run some stuff to the post office for my dad. And then I'm just right out there at Goat Hill Tavern, bro. Just fucking living the dream. That's they're living the dream. I'm like, all right, well, you know, jealous. Jealous, oh, sure. You know, because I'm 20.
Yeah.
That all sounds great. I'm full-time college, working and everything. And then, you know, I run into him in 2008, started a t-shirt company. Run into him in 2009. Yeah, that was a little harder than I thought. And then I run into him again, like, well, you know, just kind of drifting around here, just trying to find myself. And then, you know, now here we are, 32, like, yeah, I'm just going to go with living the dream.
Yeah.
Part of that, like, the guy who never left town, like, part of that, I think, is like a fear of failure, safety net. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, if you never leave town, you can die being like, man, if only I would have left town, I could have been that rock star.
Right. Yeah, that might be it. I think it's also just not so much a fear of failure, just fear of outside your blankie. Like, you know, or like, no matter where you grew up, that's all you know if you never leave.
Yeah.
And that's why anyone that I could ever give advice to is, if you've never left your hometown, fucking leave, man. Live somewhere else for 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years, if you don't like it, move back. A lot of people, like, no, I left. I tried elsewhere. Like, where'd you go? I went to Seattle. For how long? 6 months. Like, no, that's not enough time. You're going to still be like, I miss home. Yeah. There's no Mexican food here. Yeah. That's not like home. Oh, it's not warm here in October. It's not home. You got to adapt. Give yourself a chance.
Yeah, go off and do it. I did that. I went off to school in the Bay for a bit, and I loved it. I thought I was going to live in the Bay, and then I kind of did the whole, fuck it, I'm spoiled by weather. I can't do this thing anymore. But at the same time, you get this other experience of a different way of life, especially if you move from like suburbs to an urban area or vice versa. You get to meet all these kind of like different people and think about different things. But more importantly, it's what it does to you. You as a person change when you're in a different environment, especially when you get away from home.
Right.
And you get away from the trappings of who you were as a child. You get to grow up and be an adult or be somebody different in this different place. And that's really important. And it doesn't matter what you do afterwards. You take that with you for the rest of your life. And what happens, I think, with a lot of these people is not having that experience ever in their life, they fail to hit certain like growth milestones.
Yeah.
And they don't become themselves as people.
And by the way, if your hometown is New York City, you know, don't worry about it. We're not referring to you. But like, you know, I'll put it this way. If your hometown doesn't have a downtown area, what is your downtown area? Is it a mall?
Right.
Like, what do you describe town as? And then we can talk about if you should maybe get out of there for just a little while. Rumspringa, like the Amish do.
There you go.
Just do that.
Dude, I've seen a different version of that, too. Way back when I was moving to California from Michigan, I'd never really lived anywhere except there. Been on vacation places, whatever. But that same kind of thing, like time to get out, time to move. And a bunch of us, like a bunch of that group of friends were kind of leaving for California at different times in the same era. And one guy, a friend of mine from back in high school, the night before he was supposed to move, he got into a car accident. And with all the shit I had to deal with, he just ended up never moving. He's still back there.
Oh my God. Like, how long ago was this?
This was 20 some years ago. But that's just like, oh man. What if he would have moved to California?
Yeah, what if?
Yeah.
What if the different, you know, what's funny is I was doing some work. I mentioned the other week on the podcast, I was going to Albuquerque. I went off to Albuquerque to do a conference. And then I went earlier this week to Riverside to go do some field work. And both of those places, you meet these people and you realize, oh, you just grew up here and you don't understand there's places away from this.
No, they are very much so. You know that I go to the smaller towns to do my fucking stand-up. Yeah. Like, dude, there are people there like those stranded pilots that still think World War II is going on.
Right.
They're like, I heard they have buildings over six stories.
Yeah.
Fairy tales.
Right. Yeah, no, I ran into some people there in Albuquerque and I was just like, you know, I mean, in fucking Southwest, $59, you can be in another city in this country so easily. And you'll talk to them and they'll be like, I was talking to some of the people who worked at the resort, the hotel place that we were staying. And I was like, okay, so what's good in Albuquerque? Because we were outside by about like 20 minutes. And
they're like, leaving.
Yeah. No, he's like, oh, I'll tell you, blah, blah, blah. And he listed off a bunch of stuff. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. Awesome. And he's like, oh, where are you from? We chatted a little bit. And he's like, oh, yeah, San Diego. That's on my top of the list of places to go. And I was like, okay, well, you know, it's real cheap. I took a $60.
One of these days.
I took a $60 flight there, and I was like, so what was on your top list before? He's like, nah, it's pretty much always been San Diego. And I was like, so like this is your life dream? Like this afternoon, I'll be doing your life dream for the equivalent of like a few hours pay.
That's the thing. They will never admit that they're scared in these small towns. They'll never admit, like, this is all I know. I like it here. And you know what? I would accept that answer. I'd be like, I like it here. This is where I'm going to stay.
Well, the worst thing about that, I feel like that's the core of the Make America Great Again mentality. It's like, there's different weird shit out there. I want it all to be like this town where I live.
So the thing is, though, they will always say, and this is very true of, like, my family back in Pennsylvania. It's always the same thing. One of these days, I've been thinking about really getting out there. Like, hey, can I stay with you when I come out there just till I'm on my feet? And when I was younger, I would buy that bullshit. I'd be like, fuck yeah, my cousin's coming out to move it. Like, and fast forward 22 years, and like one of these days, you know, I put a map up in my garage. It's got a pin in it.
We should almost have some kind of national policy that's like musical chairs. Like when you turn 19, you have to switch places with some other 19-year-old in a different spot.
I mean, they have that. It's called a foreign exchange student program. But anyways, like, they absolutely should. It should be like mandatory.
Yeah.
Right.
But speaking of which, I have one such cousin from back in Philly. Who, okay, I'm Irish, so I'm not going to name them. And Irish people have 362 cousins, so no one outside the family is going to be able to decode which one it is. But he's
it's Jeff.
He's one of those guys that's just been in a fucking shit marriage that was started by a surprise pregnancy, you know, and it's just gotten worse every fucking, not even every year, every few months.
You just described the country of Ireland.
Yeah, that's true. We're very traditional in our family. And so, you know, when this all started, and his just mental state has just gotten worse and worse, and it's just become more toxic. It's one of those relationships where you're just like, both of you get out, run in separate directions. It's not her fault and it's not his fault. It's both of their faults. They're two people that are nitro and glycerin, and they apart, they're fine.
And then also probably the exact same thing we just talked about. They didn't have a chance to go off and find out who the fuck they were.
They've never left Philly.
Actual people. And then because they haven't done that, when you get together, you become, it's like necessarily toxic.
Yeah. They're all their leaving the hometown involves just being still within the tri-state area for 3 weeks.
Well, also, you know, like Bobby was saying about how you should switch places with someone else in the country in 19.
Yeah.
Relationships should have like an expiration. Like, okay, in 9 months, this will be over unless you both want to renew.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they keep renewing. So,
it's like
anyways,
a cell phone contract.
So, anyways, this is a guy that was like, you know, we have all these problems. I'm not going to go into what they are, but, you know, they're not my beans to spill, but it's just like, I'm going to come out there to California. And again, when he first told me that, woohoo! But now I'm like, shut your fucking mouth. No, you're not. I'm really good at it. No, you're not. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. But you are never buying a fucking plane ticket. You're never leaving that shitty marriage. That's where you're going to stay until you're both dead.
Dude, next time he says that, you should be like, oh, cool. As soon as you get out here, I need some money. I put your name on the phone bill already, the electric bill. So I need 32 months for SDG.
Oh, he'd be fine with that plan. He would totally let me incur those bills.
Also, now, if he's coming out here, he's like, I'm going to come stay with you, Ryan. I'm leaving her. You're like, all right, way to abandon your child. Sweet, come on, I'll help you.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, I'm true. I'm one of those people, though, of the, there's so many people that say, we're staying together for the kids. I'm of the belief that it's better off to have two parents that are civil and not together than to raise on a roof where it's just combustible and volatile and awful.
100%.
So
I would never live in a city that my son didn't live in.
Okay,
while
he's so a fair
kid.
Enough. Fair enough. But anyways, circumstances had it where his wife last night sent me a message from his fucking Facebook account. Hey, Ryan, I'm going to change their names. Hey, Ryan, it's Jackie. I've read everything you said about me in this thread. I have Mark's phone. And I'm like, good, you're a horrible fucking human being.
Your response should have been like, have you gotten some insight into your mental condition?
Did you need any help with the big words? Like, what are you asking me about here?
And you know what? For the last, I don't know, how long have I been together? 8 years, I've had to just grit and smile. Like, I'm one of those people that, like, is smiling really big as a single tear rolls down their cheek every time I'm around that family. And so is the rest of the family. Everyone just has to pretend everything's fine because that's how the Irish people are. We just don't address the problems. Right. We eat it up, we bottle it, and then one day we'll be dead.
And we drink that bottle.
Yeah. So it was almost cathartic. I'm like, good, I'm glad it's all out there. I don't like you. You've ruined my cousin's life.
So, I want Ryan to do the double take. He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I let me just say one thing, please, before you get too mad, let me say one thing. Facebook, like, autocorrect doesn't let you cuss. I wasn't calling you a runt.
Yeah, sorry for saying he should get out of ducking Pennsylvania. But anyways, I was thinking, I'm like, you know, he's changed Facebook profiles a few times over the years. I'm like, how much did I really say? Mainly, I was worried. I'm like, shit, what did I say about other people that she could screenshot and send to them? Now, that's what I'm worried about. I could give a fuck what she knows I think about her.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my God, please don't say I said something about, like, you know, someone I work with. Yeah. And she'd be like, well, here's how Ryan really thinks of you. I had to look you up. But anyways, I went through. I'm like, dude, none of this is really that bad and all that she has access to. And then she let me have it about what she was most upset about that I said about her. Of all the horrible things she's done, this is the worst. You said, come on out here if he ever needs a break from his family or his work. And I'm like, yeah.
That's not even offensive. You can say that to anybody.
That's a normal thing.
Yeah.
I know several people that get upset if they find out their significant other said, I need a short break from my spouse. Dude, I overheard Aaron say that just the other day. I'm like, I get it. I'm surprised.
I'm fucking horrible.
I have a lot to deal with. Just the puns and the, I get it. Like, if someone gets upset because you hear that someone, not just your spouse, but your buddies or anyone needs a quote-unquote break from you, how arrogant are you where you think that you're the only human being on earth that no one needs a break from? You're just so awesome. People would want to be around you all the fucking time.
That's
also,
a really good
super
point.
Super codependent.
Oh, yeah.
From all the other toxic.
Oh, that's a big part of it.
That's a really good point, because somebody could be like, this is the best Kobe beef steak. It's my favorite. It costs $400 for this one steak. It's delicious. I could have this every night. Yeah, you might say that, but 50 nights in, you're going to feel like you want something different for one night.
I would kill for an asparagus right now. The thing is, like, she's like, oh, well, we're done, and you're out of my life. Have a nice life. And I flat out told her, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to fucking read it.
Brian's like, yeah, thank God for that.
I'm going to fucking read what I said.
You're being super runty right now.
So she says, have a nice life. Yeah, well, if there's one thing I've learned over the last 8 years, it's neither one of you is big enough to walk away from a toxic situation. So save all that have a nice life business. And I've heard, I mean it this time, too many fucking times to buy it. Everyone's going to be back to pretending everything's fine in no time. And so, you know what? I'm going to see her in a few years, and I'm like, we're going to both be like, that's great.
You just have the best. You got to practice your shit-eating grin for that meeting. You got to just sit in a mirror like,
oh, look, you're back together. Who would have called that?
I look better with left side shit-eating grin up, but right side shit-eating grin up looks like I'm more condescending. This will be a tough choice.
So anyways, again, and this is the couple that is horrible for each other, keeps announcing their breakup, but wants everyone to keep it, like, take it as seriously as the first fucking time. So, like, do you guys, I think we've all had a multitude of friends like that, no?
Oh, especially in the age of Facebook. Yeah, dude, that's just.
Oh, yeah. No, even before Facebook, like, we had a guy, me and my best friend Carlos, you guys know him well. We used to live together in Ocean Beach. We had a neighbor who was, like, with a girlfriend. Also, horrible situation. The first time he came in, it was like, you guys, me and Liz are done. You know, 7 years, we'd be like, oh my God, man, get in here, man. You know what? We'll take you out for a beer. We'll talk through this. You guys live together. You know, you can stay here on the couch. You know, and then all of a sudden, that was Thursday night. By Sunday, hey, we're getting back together. It was a big misunderstanding. Now, yeah, you feel great for him in that moment. You're like, wow, I put out a lot of energy for that. That was a lot. You know, Carlos, did you buy him a lot of beers because he was going through a breakup? I felt like I paid for a lot of those. And then this keeps happening. Thursday night, it's really over this time. She said some things she'll never take back. And then by Sunday night.
She said she needs a break from me. That's it. It's over.
And then by Sunday night when they miss cuddling and the party's over. Babe, I think you worked this out.
You know what? We almost need a system whereby you have a couple of proclamations on the same relationship. Like, you have, like, three of those in a five-year period of time. And if you go over that set limit, your friends, by law, have to record you saying all the worst things you can think of about that person you're breaking up with. Because that will ensure the breakup.
Yeah.
Every time, and then she's like, I got back together. You're like, hold on, I just got to text your girlfriend something real quick.
Yeah. No, at least I've always been a realist when I break up with long-term girlfriends or anything like that. I never was the person that said, it's done this time.
Yeah.
I am of the understanding that when the anger subsides, that I might not feel that way. So when I've solicited friends' times, I've said, hey, I'm considering this.
Yeah.
I need to talk that out, you know? So don't go mouthing off to her and then we're not allowed to be friends anymore after I get back together because I'm a weak doormat, you know? So anyways, with this relationship my friend was in, by the 11th time, you know, it was like clockwork, comical at this point. You know, Thursday evening, the door would slowly open to our apartment. We'd be sitting there playing PS2. And he'd be like, guys, I suppose you heard about me and Liz. Guys, we're breaking up. And it's going to be really hard. I'm going to need a place to stay, of course. Maybe if you could call some girls, you know, maybe get me back out there on the dating game. God, are you hearing what I'm saying? Why are you listening to me? And we're like, you're blocking the TV, please.
Yeah, even better. You know what? You got to take this one step up. Forget the video. One of you has to bang his girlfriend. That's the only way, right? Like, they
on the surface, it seems okay, but that's just going to be a whole fucking ordeal, dude. Now you're dragged into it, and it's,
Carlos did. Now, but we chose not to tell him about it. That was not for his friend's benefit, I assure you. That was just him being a selfish man.
I remember back in the infancy of Facebook in, like, 2005, I had one of those, like, moments where I was putting way too much information about a relationship on Facebook, and I had a recall. Like, I looked back, and I looked at it, and I was like, oh my God, this is horribly embarrassing. I am never doing anything like that again. And that was a good eye-opener. One, because that was before pretty much anybody had Facebook, so I got to learn that lesson in a little bit more anonymous fashion. But two, if I get a fucking divorce, you guys won't know about it for a year and a half. You'll be like, wait, why are you living in an apartment near my house? I don't understand. What's going on? You won't fucking know, because I don't share that shit. Fuck that. That's no one else's business. It makes everything else harder. It makes getting back together harder. It makes how you talk to each other and your friends harder. It's going to be embarrassing now when your partner comes and sees your other friends.
I also love the people who air their dirty laundry all the time, not just to, like, close friends. You know, close friends, you'd be like, dude, you know, she said this. And it's like, oh, you know, you'll get past that. When people make a grandiose announcement on Facebook to anyone that'll listen about what a horrible piece of shit her husband is or a terrible bitch is his girlfriend is, and then days later want to like post cutesy cuddle photos with caption like, people jealous of what we got. Like, you just said he hit your kids with fists. Were you lying or are you a doormat? It's one or the other.
There's a female comedian that I follow. I've never met this person, and I follow them simply because they consistently do this, like, literally on a weekly basis. And it's my, like, guiding light soap opera. I just constantly, I can't get enough. I love it. She'll talk about how she hates this motherfucker and they're going to get a divorce and fuck this guy. And the next time it's them, like, hugging.
Is it a comic I know?
We'll talk after the show. All right.
So, that's great. And I do want to know that I'm following them.
Yes.
So that's why people say, like, I'm not on Facebook. I'm like, well, then how do you watch strangers get divorced? How does that work?
Relationships crumble.
Yeah, I don't understand. Oh, by the way, I had a little moment at a comedy club. What was it? Just earlier this week. I was doing a show for Mikey Gord at the Madhouse.
Mm-hmm. You were headlining.
I was headlining it. Good show. Dave walked in when I was on stage. Yeah. I think I was doing pretty well. And so anyways, I get off stage, and after the show, this comedy club is hosting a holiday party for all its regular comedians and staff. So all the comics are there. It's a lot of fun. They put out some food. It's open bar. And so comics that were not on the show start showing up. Our good buddy James Schrader shows up.
Love me some Schrader.
Fantastic comic and a really nice guy. So I see him. We lay a hug on each other and we start talking.
Now, this is as the show is over. And
this is after the show is over. We're at the club that I just performed at. James has not performed that evening. He's just there for the holiday party. That comes into play. We're talking, having a good conversation, and I see this couple, guy and a girl, kind of inch up. Like, they don't want to intrude in our conversation, but they want to say something, and I recognize them. They were sitting in the front row for my show, where I'd just done well. And I'm like, and I put the pieces together. I'm like, all right, they want to say hi to me. They want to say whatever. And I see one of them got their phone out, set the camera mode. I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm like, hold on, buddy. I put the brakes on James, like, just one sec. I'm like, how's it going, guys? They're like, hey, we're so sorry to bother you, but we're about to take off. Can we possibly get a picture? And I'm like, oh, okay, of course. I'm like, so I kind of fan my arms out to welcome in on each side of me, and they hand me the camera, turn to James, and go, we saw you 3 weeks ago, and we just think you are the funniest comic we've ever seen in this club. They just saw me.
Yes.
My mouth hit the fucking floor. My jaw. It was just. And again, it didn't end with just the picture. You are the funniest guy. They said, we're regulars of this club, and you are by far the funniest guy that performs here. And they see me standing there. They know I'm not the door guy. And I'm like, and so.
In fact, you're so funny. We could be standing next to a comic that performed tonight. We wouldn't even know. That's how funny you, James Schrader, are.
At the show, and
they were watching Schrader videos on their phone during Ryan's set.
And I was just like, it took everything in me not to like be like, all right, get together, and then like zoom in on her tits and take four of them. All right, perfect.
I love that.
And you know what's funny is like, yeah, this happens to comics all the time. Well, no, right. Not this bad.
Not that.
Usually,
no, that's
usually it's another comic on the show, and that's at least digestible because, okay, at least they saw the both of you just now. You're more their humor. But this guy wasn't even on the show. I've never heard of that happening. But anyway, it does happen quite a bit.
Here's what happens to me. Like, after a show, usually a showcase, there'll be six or eight of us on a show. We all stand at the doors while the audience leaves so we can shake hands, maybe sell some merch, maybe get some followers, whatever. And someone will be walking in the line. They'll see a comic. You know, I'm standing here. They see the comic next to me who they love. They're like, oh, my God, you were great. You were amazing. They shake his hand.
Yeah.
Then they see me as they're walking. Like,
hey, you're good, too.
Oh, you're good, too. And they shake my hand. Like, like just to not say nothing to me. I'm like, come on, dude. I know what you're doing.
I feel like I'm the king of you're good, too. I've gotten so many you're good, too's. Like,
Lucky?
Yeah. With the glowing reception. Like, they see, like, DeGear or somebody. And they're like, oh, you were fantastic. We were good. And then they're like, hey, you're good too, or like, oh, you were the opener, right? Like, thank you for reaffirming what I did.
Right.
Yeah, something. Yeah. I would like something. Actually, a really bad one happened to my mentor Adam Sank in New York. He was doing he'd just done Last Comic Standing, a showcase for it. It aired. He got to be on NBC, which was really cool. Gave his career a good boost. But afterwards, this very well-known talent agent came back to all the comics. They were in like the green room in like a semicircle, just chatting about how they think they did. This guy walks in. He's flush in the face, so excited. He's like, that was amazing. He starts handing his card out to every single person. By the way, all these comics since this happened, you've heard of.
Oh, wow.
And they knew it too, because this guy's so high powered. The fact he's handing you this card is like handing you a career. He gave one to every single person in the room, sees my friend Adam and goes, good set, buddy. Does not give him a card.
Oh, you got to have a fake card for that situation. You have to have one that's got a 555 number.
Stack of them. What are you? Oh, let me get you from the reserve.
Yeah, that would be for someone who actually cared about people's feelings.
Yeah, that's an agent. They don't care.
You got to have a 555 number card that you hand out.
Dude, I want to, like, next time I'm on vacation somewhere in some other city, like, as comics, we know how this shit works. I would love to go to a show in some town where I don't know anybody and watch the show. Then at the end, like, do something like that to the comics just to keep them humble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as you're saying goodbye to all of them, like, tell one comic, like, oh, I really loved your joke about this, but it wasn't his joke. It was some other guy's joke.
And to Schrader's to credit, as like because they kept talking like that, like, oh, no one here is very funny. Usually, maybe not that bad, but they were being very rude. And so at one point, because I was just going to stand there for the picture and go back to my enjoyable conversation with James. But then, like, after the third thing they said, I just leaned into him and went, I'm going to go. And as I walked away, he gave me this look like, I'm so sorry. Like, you know this is not my fault.
Right, I'm just fucking awesome, dude. Yeah. I'm fucking James Schrader. I'm awesome.
There was a hint of that. It was a mixture of, come on, man, I'm sorry, this wasn't my fault, and hey, the Schrademeister.
Yep.
Ryan, like, drops the phone as he hands it back to the guy. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Into a pitcher of beer. Whoops, Butterfingers.
Oh, man. Classic Shores.
Anyway, so as we mentioned at the top of the show, we're a couple days from Christmas. Is what I like to call it, Halloween 2. You've seen the tree.
Or day after Christmas for everybody
Boxing
listening.
Day. Well, that's, this will air the day after. Either way, one thing I wanted to discuss is when you're a grown up, Christmas doesn't matter like when you're a kid.
Right.
Because when you're a kid, you're a selfish asshole that just cares about presents, and you no longer get those when you're a selfish adult.
Right.
So what were some of the gifts I want to ask you guys that you just fucking had to have and did get that just like still to this day you couldn't believe it when you opened it and there it was?
Well, I had a funny one growing up because I grew up like middle class, very, you know, just a comfortable middle class family. But I grew up the son of a Eastern European refugee from the Soviet Union.
So she'd give you like a potato and look up and be like really excited, like, huh?
And like a
no famine on that.
And a naval officer, and so it was like very it was so funny because I had friends.
He gave him a knife.
Yeah. It was always.
You're gonna need that when I drop you off in your survival training in a little while.
It was always funny because like my friends, who some of which were wealthier, some of which were the same class, and some of which were much poorer, always had way better Christmas hauls because it was just kind of part of the culture more. So I don't think I ever got anything from them that I was like I flipped out on.
Really?
Since I was a little kid, maybe I don't know some action figure. figure or something.
You know, of all the things we've said, I have a dead friend and a cousin whose life is ruined over a marriage. That was the most depressing fact of this episode.
I loved Christmas. Don't get me wrong. It's just, you know, it was little stuff. It wasn't a big deal. The thing, though, that I think was a big deal was something I never asked for. I got it a year ago from my brother-in-law, who took it upon himself for Christmas to get me a fireball shooter, which I have gotten thorough use out of and was an absolutely perfect gift.
I just want to temper the expectations of listeners right now. It's not as great as you think a fireball shooter
is. It is exactly as great, Dave.
You're thinking of what happens when a Mortal Kombat fighter shoots.
That is what happens.
No, it's not.
That is what happens.
From the X-Men movies. It's not.
More happens. Like, have you ever accidentally ashed a cigarette onto a piece of tissue paper and it went for a second? Ooh, close call.
I'm shooting so many fireballs at both of you from now on. Now,
like you don't already. Like, it's fucking. You paid me back for throwing you a surprise party by shooting one in my face.
That's right. That was pretty sweet.
No, it was not.
But I will say this. The best gift I've ever gotten, my wife got me for my birthday maybe a year or two back. We went out to the woods. She got us a cabin in the woods. We went out to the woods and did mushrooms. Can't get better than that.
That's an awesome gift.
Yeah, they forgot the baby.
Pre-baby, pre-pregnancy.
All right. Now, Dave, let me ask you before you say yours. You're a few years older than I am. Were you into G.I. Joe when it came out? Or was that a little after
for sure.
Okay, so did you want the aircraft carrier, the classic G.I. Joe toy that every kid wanted, but it was like outrageously expensive, and like it was 7 feet, 6 inches long.
It was ridiculous.
Wow.
It was like, I was into that, but not that into or wanted that, but my thing was the Star Wars toys when I was a kid. That was
big. Okay.
So the AT-AT Walker, that was like the big one.
All right.
But it weird, like, I'm surprised I grew up so.
Did you get it though?
Well, I never asked for it, because here's the thing. I'm kind of surprised that I turned out as good of an adult as I did. Like, I'm not extravagant. I'm not. I mean, in the sense that I'm not.
This is a success.
I didn't say success. I'm not extravagant. I don't like want a bunch of material possessions. I don't like want the newest, best thing. Because I'm surprised I turned out that way, because as a kid, my parents would give us when I was young, I think it was a Sears catalog, toy section in the back. We would circle everything we wanted.
Oh, that was a
cool
move.
And my parents got us everything we circled.
Wow.
Jesus.
But so because of that, like,
okay, you know what?
I didn't ask for a whole lot of shit.
The fact that you're not an entitled monster is a miracle.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
That's amazing.
So I didn't ask for a ton of shit. I would just be like, I really want this, so I'm going to ask for this and this and this. And so I got all the shit I asked for, but because of that, I didn't ask for everything. Right. So I was like, I never had the AT-AT Walker. I always wished I had.
Yeah.
My friend had it. I was like, fuck, I got over to Scott's house and play with that thing.
The aircraft carrier was 7 feet long.
It was gigantic.
I'm jealous of a kid
who's got 7'6".
I'm jealous of a kid who's got room for that. What the fuck?
Right. You know, because I was thinking about it, because I saw a lot of guys on Facebook posting about this toy. There's like a popular meme going around, like, in a few days, it marks 32 years of me not getting this aircraft carrier for G.I. Joe. And I'm like, why did so many kids not get this toy? I'm like, so I looked up the original price, which in 1985 was $109.
Wow.
I entered that into an inflation calculator. Yeah. That's $250 for a toy.
Right.
I get it for an iPhone. You know, it's like, well, yeah, but like, I can like GPS where he is at all times. You know?
Not only that, but it's 7'6". The store only has room for like two boxes of that. So
yeah, I'm like, because they're like, yo, it was huge. When I thought they said it was huge, I imagine it being the size of this card table where we have the mixing board on. I'm like, oh man, it must be the size of like a. I'm like, dude, it was bigger than Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. It was
7'6".
It was the size of an actual canoe. Like you could.
Right.
It was a model aircraft carrier, but a functional canoe.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Of course you shouldn't have got that. No one should have that toy.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right. I'll give you two. Number one was when I was a kid, the Michael Keaton Batmans were very big, very big. And my parents, and it turned out to be my mom's last Christmas. She wanted to go all out. My friends were not getting this because it was a lot like the aircraft carrier where it was expensive, not so big, but I got Bruce Wayne's Batcave/mansion. It was like a playset.
Wow.
And I still have a picture of this thing. Like, I wanted it for a year, and it like had all these cool features in it. Now, that, when I got it, it was as awesome as I thought it would be. It was as awesome as it looked in the pictures. I played with that thing until I was way too old to be playing with it.
Right.
However, a few Christmases before that, now, Mom died when I was 7, so I had to be at least, like, below that. So let's say I'm 5. I got one of those catalogs, and there was a magic set. And since I'm five, I'm like, oh, shit, I'll know how to do fucking spells.
This will be awesome.
Yeah, I really did think. I'm like, fuck, oh, my God. It's like I got the wand, and I'd seen magic on TV. I'm like, I'm going to make my dad's going to yell at me to do my homework. Yeah. I'm going to make him float and be like, what now, bitch?
Money problem solved. I'll just keep duplicating dollar bills.
Right, I really did think that this was going to happen.
Dude, I'm just going to drop this in. I'm sorry. We'll get back to your story. But, like, that same kind of kid mentality. I remember when I was a kid, and in comic books, you know, they had the order form for, like, oh, x-ray specs. Oh,
yeah,
like,
voodoo doll.
Me and my dad, I was like 4 or 5. My dad's like, let's go play Frisbee. I'm like, yeah, cool. We couldn't find the Frisbee. I was like, oh my God, wait, Dad. I know where a Frisbee is. And he's like, cool. So I go get my comic book. I bring him back the page. I'm like, here. Like, I think you can just order it and have it, like, right then.
Oh,
like,
yeah. So you put it in the mailbox and then count to three.
Right, yeah. I'm like, yeah, reach we got back a Frisbee. In. Let's go.
Dave invented Amazon Prime, actually.
Yeah, yeah. How do you think that Amazon Prime works? You don't get it instantly.
There's a 2-hour delivery, so it could almost work out.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I did think that that was going to exist. And then when it did, so I told my grandma, my mom, this is what I want. And they're like, are you sure we can get you some? Because, you know, it was probably like a $10 magic kit, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
They're like, is this the big gift you want? I'm like, oh my God, how could everyone not want this? Are you insane? So I get it. And there's like, all right. My mom's like teaching me the tricks out of the book. She's like, all right, come on over here. So what you do is you pinch this little spot right here. So when you open it up again, the ball looks like it's disappeared. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why am I doing something to hide where the ball is? Like, what? Why isn't it just you mean this isn't legit? What the fuck? And so at 5 years old, I had to learn all magicians were full of shit.
He had his Ralphie Mae Christmas Story moments.
Son of a bitch.
I think of him more as like a 5-year-old Larry David, where he's like, if it's just like a pretend magic, call it pretend magic. Yeah. Don't call it magic.
Call it lies, because that's what it is. It's lies. I'm going out there. No. Do I want to do a magic show for grandma? No, I don't want to do a lie show for grandma. I'm lying to her. There's a ball in that little cup. And I'm just holding it with my finger. And guess what? The rings, there's a little safety clutch. It's all fucking bullshit. I was like, I didn't throw a tantrum or anything like that, but I was like, oh, this is great, because I was taught to be very grateful no matter what.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, this is the best present ever. And then I like went to my room and cried over the death of magic. I was like, oh, it's all lies. Oh, that fucking David Blaine fraud. He's probably full of shit, too. Yeah.
I think I found the root of his hatred of comedy magicians.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, every time.
No, Joseph, we all hate them, Bobby.
Yeah, every time a comedy magician's up, I'm like, he's full of shit. He's hiding it somewhere.
It's all my fucking childhood.
How much did you pay for that? It was a ripoff. Anyway, so that we're going to call it a week. Before I do, I want to mention a friend of ours, a good comic buddy of ours, Kendrick Smith. He's in the hospital right now. We're all thinking about him a lot, and we really hope he gets better. Kendrick, we love you, buddy. Merry Christmas, and this episode's for you, man. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why are you listening to me? Ooh, ooh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by. He's full of shit. He's hiding it somewhere.
It's all my fucking childhood.